I'm gonna hopefully get through Proverbs chapter 4, and then we'll, hopefully at the end we'll have some prayer time. Chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, I was hoping to do this last week. What a clueless person I am. Sometimes I have an idea how long things will take, and sometimes I do not. I just don't know what it is, you know. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and intend to know, and attend to know understanding. Is this Solomon, the father, talking to his children? Yes, but, you know, behind it all, I can't help feeling that it's Father God talking to his children. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. I wouldn't tell you to do things that were unhealthy, weren't expedient, that weren't a benefit. And I think we should know that all the time. I think we should think in terms like, you know, the law is good, right? Converting the soul. We read about that in the book of Psalms, and it's a good law. The word of God is good. There's nothing unbeneficial about it. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. You know, obviously here, Solomon is looking back on his own childhood. His father, by the way, was not a, how do you want to say this? Wasn't a Bible scholar. Well, he was a prophet. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was a shepherd. Okay, shepherd turned king, turned warrior, turned, and he was no doubt a Renaissance man. I mean, you know, he had poetry going. We love David. I don't know anyone. You know, David's one of all of our favorite Bible characters. But he wasn't, you know, brought up in the temple at the foot of the, you know, the great scribes of the day. He was out in the field with his guitar, right, his harp, writing love songs to the Lord. Okay, the things that were born of David weren't born of scholarship, but he's a wise man because he loved the word of the Lord. He loved the Lord, and I don't think those things are separable. By the way, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. What was that all about? Because his mother was Bathsheba, ostensibly his only. Her only son. Well, you know, David and Bathsheba had a child born in adultery, and that child died. So now, you remember the story. So it said that David comforted his wife Bathsheba after the death of their child, and then they had another child, Solomon. And God sends Nathan the prophet and says, name him Jedidiah. Beloved of the Lord. And so here he is. I think he's making a play of that, you know, when he's saying, the only beloved in the sight of my father. He taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Would you keep God's commandments and die? No, you keep God's commandments and live. You cross over God's commandments. That results in death. Friday, I finished the book of Genesis in my daily reading. And I thought, and I wrote it in like a little, you know, you can make a comment on in the U version of the Bible. I commented, how does a book that starts off so grand and glorious, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, how does it end in a coffin in Egypt, is the final words of the book of Genesis. How does something start out that grand and end that badly? Well, in chapter 3, where it says, you know, Eve saw the fruit was good, and it was, you know, she took, she ate, and she gave to her husband, and he did eat also. That's what happened. So what happened? We keep God's commandments and live. We disobey God's commandments, and mayhem. Only always. Now there's forgiveness, and God can redeem, and he can take our brokenness and make it new again, but I've never sinned, and it's benefited me. Now I'm just going to tell this little lie here in this situation, and it's all going to work out good. No. No, here's a good idea, just something that the Bible says. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. When I was praying, I was thinking earlier this week about wisdom and understanding and what's the difference. Wisdom is the knowledge. It's the I get it. I know what you're saying. Yes, I agree. Say, good. That's all you need, right? Not quite. Not quite. The understanding is the application part where if I touch this boiling hot water, I'm going to get scalded. You're very wise. Don't touch it, though. You know, use your understanding now, okay? It's not, because I think sometimes we know things. You know, I'll say like, okay, let's open to Ephesians chapter 4, and you say, oh, Ephesians 4, one of my favorite chapters. I got this. I know this. I've done the same thing. If you do that, by the way, I've done the same thing. Pastor's going to teach. I went to church, and, you know, he'd say, open to. I know what it says in that passage. I know what that's all about. So I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna run with it. I'm gonna. You know, I don't know anything because by the time the Holy Spirit, you know, tells me all things I didn't know. What I didn't know anything. And the other part about it is knowing a thing is not the same as doing a thing. And we've gotta separate that in our mind somehow because I think sometimes we take comfort in knowing Bible doctrine. Well, you have to know it to do it. But knowing it isn't doing it. I can know how to have a successful marriage and do all the right things and even share it with others and then fall flat on my face by not applying what I know in the house. No, that's not a confession. Go talk to Susan. What is that rat up to anyway? No. I'm just saying it's not a confession today, but it's a it has been true in the past. Again, knowing a thing isn't doing a thing. So that's what I'm thinking, get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now this is a personification of wisdom in the feminine. Is that troublesome? No, he's just calling wisdom a lady and you know, forsake her not. It's more personal and forsake it not. She, that's to say wisdom, shall preserve thee. Love her. Make her your girlfriend. Love her. You just have her wisdom handy in your life all the time. Why? Because she'll keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Okay, it's not enough to know it. You have to do it also. We'll say that 1,000 times during the course of this book. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Remember when God came to Solomon after he set up the tabernacle in Shiloh, I think it was. He's anointed king now, and God says to him, and he makes this like ridiculous. He sacrifices like tons, literally tons of animals, there's thousands, you know, of these burnt offerings. And he's pouring out his heart to God with his financial substance, saying, Lord, I'm all yours. And God comes to him in a dream. You remember? And he says, okay, what do you want? Blank check. Now, look, Solomon's 18, 19 years old, maybe. Now, think about your average 18 or 19-year-old. God says, here you go. Gives him literally a blank check, right? As many zeros as you want. The sky's the limit. Whatever, carte blanche, whatever your little heart desires, I'm going to make it happen. By the way, what would you ask for? No, I mean, what would you ask for? You hadn't thought about it? Come on, you read that story and you must have thought about it. Wait, what do you want? God says anything you want. You say a new set of golf clubs, right? That's what you're... That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Because I remember early on when I first got saved and a guy, and I've told you about this guy before, remarkable man of God, and he was ministering to me and sharing his many years of knowledge with me and stuff. And he says, and me and another guy, when the Bible says, he says, what would you say? And I said, wisdom. I mean, it's the obvious answer, right? I'd change it now. You say, you'd change it from wisdom? You don't want wisdom? Huh? I'd get the package deal, wisdom and understanding, but I wouldn't, no, that wouldn't be my first thing. Saying, really? It wouldn't be? No. Solomon had it, and it didn't seem to, in the end, his life was shambles. The end of the wisest man in the world ever's life, he wasn't worshiping God. David did. You say, yeah, David. He had adultery with Bathsheba. He had Uriah the Hittite killed. Yeah, I'm still going with David. I want to be a man after God's own heart more than I want wisdom. Just me. Because David might have committed adultery. By the way, that's not on my menu, my list of things to get done forever. Having said that, David sinned before his God and repented before his God and never changed gods. I mean, look, I want to get this right. I mean, this is desperate. I don't want to like flounder and, well, I know, the God of the Zidonians, I think I'll go worship Molech and Chemosh and I forget about it. At the end, when it's all said and done, I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to my wife. I want to be faithful to you. You know, I want to be faithful to a faithful guy just all the way around. But at the end of it, wisdom wasn't enough to win the day. Now, I'd rather have wisdom than dumb. Dumb doesn't help, you know. But God liked what he said. He said, this is a great people. I can't even number them. I'm just a kid. I'm in over my skis is what he's saying to God. You know what I want? I want wisdom to be able to govern these people, to be able to judge them correctly. God says, good enough. Right, and it says, the Bible says God was pleased with his response. He says, because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, you didn't ask for fame and fortune, I'll throw all those in as a bonus. And when I read something like this, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding, exalt her, and she shall promote thee, she will. You know, some of you guys, like, you're going for a promotion or a job or something like that. I don't want to be step out where I can't step out and promise anybody anything. I don't want to do that. But I'm very surprised when one of our people doesn't get the promotion. Why? Because they have wisdom. People see it. People see, like, okay, this guy's got a work ethic. He comes in early. He stays late. He works hard. He's never goofing off. Let's make him manager of something. Let's promote him. Let's give him that's how it works. People see that. Wisdom is an important thing. Yeah, I imagine a time where businesses are calling us up. Yeah, we love who you sent us. You got any more of them there? They don't hang around the water cooler all day. They're not stealing from the company. No sexual harassment. Can you clone this guy? Can you send us some more? Wisdom. That's the thing. What do you think it is? We're the prettiest or the brightest smiles? Is that how they hire? No, they're thinking, this guy here, he's got some wisdom. And with wisdom, you know, goes integrity and the whole gamut. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she will. She shall bring thee to honor, and she will, when thou dost embrace her. That's to say, wisdom. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. Ornament of grace, the idea is like a decoration. She'll, you know, a jewel, she makes you look good, is the idea. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee, and she will. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Will they be? Yeah. Yeah. Obey your parents in the Lord. David's saying, hey, Solomon, get wisdom, get understanding. It promotes longevity. The years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the ways of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now, we're talking about straitened. What are you looking at? Does anyone get anything besides King James here? It talks about, you know, David being in a straight place. You know, it means hemmed in. It means in a tight place. And he's saying your steps shall not be in a tight place, shall not be hindered, if you want to put that in there. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Why? Because wisdom is illumination. Wisdom is will show you the right path. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. You know, grab hold of her and don't let go. Fast hold means like a firm grip. But you knew that. I mean, what else would you think? So, here's the thing. So we see somebody, and they're getting wisdom, they're getting understanding, and they're doing really good. And we see redemption happen. We see their life get on track. We see, you know, the foolishness, the folly, the heartache melt away. Have you seen that ever? Have you seen God work in somebody's life and all that, the bad stuff goes away? Good. But that's not the end of the story all the time. Grab firm hold of that. Having stood, stand. I can't quote it real good. We'll get there in Ephesians eventually, in the sixth chapter. It's talking about, you know, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it's taking your stand. Then stand. We do that. But that's, again, that's not the end of the story. So we make a good stand. We have a good start. We start seeing wisdom incorporated into our lives. And at some point, you know, it's like, you know, I got this down. Or we, and then we get sidetracked, or we have an adversary. And then we let go, and then mayhem. Chaos and bad things. For she is thy life. Hold on to her and hold on to her tight with both hands. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Why not? Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. I can't even sleep. I haven't done anything wrong today. Think about that. They're up all night. Now, because they're planning more mischief. Now, if you're late getting to sleep, am I saying you're evil? No, I'm not. I'm not. I think that, by the way, I never understand that. I got a granddaughter, and she's got a, you know, one more video, one more, you know, you can't get her to bed. And I say, well, go to bed early, get up early, and start in with whatever you want to do. It's the same 8 hours of sleep, you just, you know, and then, of course, there's the school the next day, and we're trying to fight with her to get her out of bed. My kids are the same way. Me, I don't want to be up all night. What's going on at night? Nothing. I'm kind of a morning person anyway. I'm not going anywhere. I've turned the alarm all the way off, and I'm awake before 7, usually up. Just, you can't sleep the whole day away, right? I don't know. That's me. But some people are just geared that way. It's DNA. So you're that up all night person, stuff like that. You know, it talks about like in Psalm 5, O Lord, in the morning will I, you know, I'm going to look up, I'm going to present my cause to you, I'm going to meet with you in the morning. Well, the morning starts at 12:01, you know what I mean? So, you know, if you're meeting with God like way, way late at night, because that's the only time, you know, the kids are in bed, you get a chance to read your Bible and stuff, that's fine. I don't think that's evil. I kind of like to meet with the Lord early in the morning myself, and I'm talking like, you know, 5:36. It works out better for me. The other part about if you're like up all night, you meet with the Lord and then you go right to bed, maybe you'll have good dreams or something. It almost, when you wake up again, you've got to set your mind right and, you know, get in touch with the Lord again and you know, start out all over again. It seems to me. But here, we're not talking about that really anyway. It's saying they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Can you imagine that? There's a restlessness to evil that's not happy unless it causes somebody else to be involved in evil. Even when Christians backslide, they look for a fellowship. They look for people around them, other Christians who have backslidden too. And they got their verses. They got their own theology. Judge not, lest ye be judged, right? And they got that little ceramic bread on the, that loaf of bread on their table, and they got like two verses in it, right? Judge not, lest ye be judged, and let him that's without sin throw the first stone, right? So here they are, you know, and they look for other people who are, you know, in the same boat. That's how evil works. You look for, you know, people around you who are going to like bolster your evil, and here it is, you know. They're not even going to sleep unless they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. You know, that's very disturbing to me, because when you see bread and wine in Scripture, what do you think about? You think about Christ, and you think about the communion table. Do you remember in Genesis where Melchizedek comes out after Abraham's won the battle against the kings, and he comes back with Lot and all the spoil? He comes back, and Melchizedek meets him. You remember what Melchizedek has? Bread and wine. Go ahead and read it. What's the Holy Spirit saying there? Melchizedek, Christ type. In my thinking, when you see bread and wine, think terms of Jesus Christ. Is that the way you read the book, Adam? Yeah, I do all the time. I'm looking for connectors and things like that, subtle things, because the Holy Spirit is consistent, the same author throughout the whole book. The Holy Spirit uses consistent idioms and word pictures and clues to kind of point you where it's not so right on the surface. You've got to like dig a little bit. He likes that. And we'll see in this book, Proverbs, it's the glory of kings to hide, what does it say, to hide a matter or, it's the glory of God to hide a thing, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. Just think about that. And by the way, while we're in this, you could read a proverb every day, you know, while we're in this book. We'll be in it for a couple months. And, we'll say the 22nd, 3rd, 4th, 24th. So you could read, Genesis 24. Tomorrow, read Genesis 25. Just the day of the calendar day, read it. And then we come around to these, you'll say, oh, I know that stuff. I read that a dozen times. It'll be a good study. They eat the bread of wickedness, they drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light, and shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Light and the idea of truth, you know, it's the idea of illumination, is the idea of, you know, God's the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. The first thing God ever said is, let light be. He's spoken of the darkness and created light. And by the way, we're creating his image, right? We see darkness, what are we supposed to do? Speak light. Well, I can't create like God can create. No, but you can speak light into a situation or into a dark situation. What do you mean? Well, you're creating God's image, right? Do what he did. Well, what did God do? He used the word of God. Use the word of God. Speak light. Bring truth. Bring illumination into a dark situation. You'll get some pushback a lot of times, but it's what people need. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I listen sometimes to the conversation around me when I'm at work. Wow. They'll all listen to this recording when it's on the radio. They'll all be highly insulted. So what? Sometimes I think, like, they're very smart people. They do their jobs extremely well. And theologically, they don't have a clue between them at all. Not a whisper of a hint or a glimmer of a hope of a clue. Nothing. And it's amazing to me. Anyway. My son, attend to my words. And my daughter, I hope you've realized about the equal opportunity here in this, that sometimes there are things that are gender specific, but turn around. When God's, you know, warning one of his sons about the strange woman, you know, turn that around. Say, I'm not worried about any strange woman. You know, it's that, well, turn it around, make it, you know, the strange man. I mean, obviously, my son and my daughter, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? The heart of the matter is this matter of the heart. I said before, understanding is great, wisdom tremendous. The heart of the matter is this matter of the heart. We're told to guard our heart. Why? That's where the fountain of life is. That's where all the... this is what I found. I don't even want to dwell on evil. I don't want to think about it. I want to be very short and very terse with evil. When I feel like I'm being tempted, no. No. Satan, what part about no don't you understand? Get nasty with him. I mean, look. No, no, no. I don't entertain it. Don't want to think about it. Why? Because I know my heart is like everyone else's heart. It's desperately wicked, right? Deceitful above all else. Who can know it? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Is that not correct? My heart's broken. My mind isn't. I'm renewing my mind, putting this in. So I'll follow what my mind says, not what my heart says. My heart will make a convert of my mind. Say, not you, Adam. You've been saved for like 30-something years. No, still. I learned a few things. Like, no, I'm not going there. Been there. Every time I give in to temptation, there's shame, there's humiliation, there's like, you know what righteousness does for you? Righteousness is tremendous. I love righteousness. Why? Because I'm not afraid. What do you mean? Because the Bible says that the wicked, they're running even when nobody's chasing them. But the righteous, it says, in this book of Proverbs, they're as bold as a lion. Hey, let me see your phone. I want to check out your history. Go ahead. I got nothing to hide. What do you think? I'm like ducking and hiding. No, I better not let anyone see my, I got to cover up my tracks. No, you ain't going to cover up nothing. Your sin will find you out. You know what I mean? So I just learned, like, don't entertain it. Don't think about it. Don't play with it. Why didn't Eve say, hey, you nasty old serpent, get out of my face. God said no, go away. Take authority. And Adam is, don't even stop me on Adam. You know, everyone always says, I tell you this, the Puritans, right? When Adam was away, Eve did play. The verse I just read to you earlier, I think it's 3:17. It might be 3:15. It's 3:17, I think. Third chapter of Genesis, the 17th verse. You can check me on that. She ate and she gave to her husband, and he did eat also. Where is he? He's right there. Man up, Adam. Show some spine. Your wife is talking to a serpent. Step in. Take authority. Don't be letting that stuff go on. I think that's a, anyway. My attend to my words, incline not thy ear unto thy, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. All this is a keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. My words, that is to say. Again, the words of David, the words of Solomon, no, the words of God, and in so much as Solomon speaking the words of God, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is what I was saying earlier. You got to keep your heart with all diligence. Why? That's the main thing. That's what your life is. You keep your heart with all diligence. Well, it's Adam. It's, you already said it's deceitful above all else. Who can know it? Keep it. Not. Don't go by it. Don't follow it. Don't use it as a compass. It wants to control you. Don't let it. Remember in Psalm 51 where David says, "Create in me a clean heart." The word for create is bara, out of nothing. Take this heart and fix it? Nah, it's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all else, God says. It's nasty. Nothing I can do for that. Give you a new one. Hang on to that new heart. Don't. It's, why? Well, out of it flow the, out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, proud. Froward, proud. You might see that. You might have a verse that says proud. Deceitful is also the eye that, idea. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Christians, say what you mean what you say. Questions? That's straightforward. Perverse lips, far, far away. Far away. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I've said before, what do you want to do? You want to go off the road to the right, or you want to go off the road to the left? Well, it really depends on what's on the side of the road. We would come back from, we watched the Star Trek movie, the Star Wars movie. And we're coming back, me and my brother-in-law and my wife, and a car went, we saw it, it was zipping right along, the guy was on his phone, he wasn't paying attention, and he went right off into the median, right down into a bog. And he could see him, like he was zooming right along, he went right down, and came to a really soft landing at the bottom. And there was snow and stuff, but he wasn't going anywhere. And I wasn't going down and trying to get, because it's bog. I've been up to my knees in this, you know, nasty. And it hadn't froze over yet, but I would come out frozen. He was alert. He was not injured. He had a phone that he shouldn't have been playing on anyway. And so he could call the wrecker. I came back because we were coming here. It was after Christmas and we were going to take the decorations down. We come back and the tow truck had him and everything was fine. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, any big deal. So, you know, but we did stop and see if he was okay and stuff like that. He went off to the left. Whew. Nah, I think the right was the same. Is there an you say, well, I don't want to go. Is there an option like go off to the left, go off to the right? Do I want to add to the word or do I want to detract from the word? Is there an option? Can I stay on the road? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's an option you can select. As a matter of fact, I want to be right down the middle of the right road, theologically, and I want my life to reflect that. He's saying the same thing. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I don't care in which direction. Do you want to go off towards like legalism, or do you want to go off the road towards liberty? Do you want to like, you know, be very indulgent? Oh, I can do all this stuff. It's all covered by grace, and I can just be like grace guy and just sin up a storm because God's going to forgive me. Is that the way you want to deviate, or do you want to deviate in legalism? Just put like a whole lot of rules and do religion right to the zenith. It still will kill your relationship with the Lord. No, don't go off to the left. Don't go off to the right. Remove your foot from evil. Ponder the path of your feet, verse 26. Think about it. Why? Because God's he's speaking to our minds. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Ponder. Is Christianity an intellectual exercise? Yeah. In part, it's not entirely that, but yeah. I always say you got to think right to live right. Will thinking right make you live right? No, but thinking wrong, there's no chance there whatsoever. Because you still have to have wisdom, but you still have to have understanding. You still got to do what we know to do. Okay, that's chapter 4. We're not going to start chapter 5 today. Before we pray, this is something I was going to read this morning. I never got a chance to work it in. It's Barna, and it was on sex, sin, and to wit, pornography mostly. More than one quarter, 27% of young adults ages 25 to 30 first viewed pornography before puberty. My 9-year-old with a tablet worries me beyond, my 9-year-old granddaughter worries me beyond, I can't even express how much. Her dad bought it for her. I don't think it's a good idea. When she's at the house and he's on his laptop, well, he's on his laptop and she's right there. That's one thing. But her own tablet, that's a very bad idea. Nearly half of young people actively seek out porn weekly or more often. Nearly half of young people. Someone told me as much as 90% between 19 to 35. It's a big number. But here it's saying more than half. I think the numbers are deflated because a lot of people won't admit it when they're asked. You know what I mean? Even if it's an anonymous poll. Teenage girls and young women are significantly more likely to actively seek out porn than women over age 25. 66% of teens and young adults have received a sexually explicit image and 41% have sent one. More than half of Christian youth pastors have had at least one teen come to them for help in dealing with porn in the past 12 months. 21% of youth pastors and 14% of pastors admit they currently struggle with using porn. About 12% of youth pastors and 5% of pastors say they are addicted to porn. I am in the 86% and the 95%. Okay? bragging, praising God, praising God. The things I'm telling you, sin's not going to work out to your benefit, ever. There was one of the things I was reading. It was saying that young people under the age of 30, more than like 60% of them think that not recycling is a greater sin than pornography. I was thinking, like, not recycling. Where's that verse? Where's that? I don't remember that Bible verse. Am I anti-recycling? No, recycle. It makes good sense. We're stewards of the planet, to be sure. Don't quote me. Adam was down on recycling. Recycle, no porn. I expect that the number here in the church will be zero. I'm afraid I'm going to have to insist. We can't. Secret sin will take the life out of a church quicker than anything I know. It'll take the life out of me quicker than anything I know. Why? Is that a big problem in my life? No, but sin has been. Whatever flavor you choose of sin, when I have unconfessed sin in my life, again, nervous, always looking around, furtive. You're running away even when no one's chasing you. I don't want to be that. I want to be the bold as a lion guy. I've done that, and I'll really enjoy it. That's what you need, Adam, more boldness. I do. I really, really do. And so do you as well. Let's stand. Let's pray. Matt will come and send us out of here in song. We'll stand. We'll pray if you can. If you have to go, I understand that. So you can go if you have to. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, words of wisdom all, and I just pray that we take them and adopt them. And Lord, if we have sin in our lives, and maybe there, so maybe another sin, but let's be done with it. Help. Well, I know we're the Sunday night crew, Lord, and we're less likely to be living in, totally be dominated by sin. But I know that we have an adversary. I know he dresses up sin and makes it look more pleasurable than it actually is. Help us to be wary. Help us to keep our hearts, guard our hearts, as the word says. We want to have a good life. We want to do the things that please you. Keep us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.